1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Even our faith. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. With the help of the Lord today, I want to preach to you for a little while about the overcomer's faith. Everybody say it, the overcomer's faith. Brother Jericho, would you pray?
Lord, thank you for this Sunday afternoon, Lord. Bring us all here to learn more about the Word of God, Lord. Thank you for opening our hearts, opening our minds, Lord. And we ask you to keep opening our minds and hearts, Lord, for the reading and the preaching, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. If you'll say in Jesus' name, you can be seated. If you understand the principles of modern aerodynamics, I'm talking about, for example, how a jet plane works. You may not all understand all the intricacies involved, but the way a jet plane works is it puts some thrust out the back. It starts going down the runway. It builds up speed. And after it gets enough speed built up, what begins to happen is because of the design of the wing, the plane will begin to rise. And I said that to tell you this, that it was brought out by a Swedish professor in the 1930s that bumblebees can't fly. Now, I know I've preached a whole message on that, but I want you to think about this. I'm not really going to preach on the bumblebee too much. But if you go by strictly the principles of aerodynamics, it's not possible for a bumblebee to fly. The way the airplanes fly is just a very simple thing. And if you look at it and look at the bumblebee compared to the way a jetliner flies, there's no way that it should fly. But the bumblebees don't know anything about the principles of aeronautics, do they? So they just go ahead and they fly anyway. They fly. If you ever watched a bumblebee, boy, it's like they can stop in the middle of the air. They can go sideways. They can go backwards. Sometimes they'll swoop down on you. Ever seen that? And you're like, get that thing away from me. They'll fly real slow, real fast, up, down, sideways. I've never seen one fly upside down. But they seemingly don't get tired beating those tiny, tiny wings. And those wings are really they're not even paper thin. They're more than paper thin, thinner than paper. They beat those things so fast to hold their impossibly heavy body. Now, of course, for us, it's not a big deal to pick up a bumblebee, but for those wings that are, you ever touched a bee's wings? I've touched bee's wings, and you know, when they're dead and stuff, and they break just right away. Those wings will just keep up, and it will just beat impossibly fast in order to keep the bumblebee in the air. And they just seemingly do not even get tired doing that. And the bumblebee has never even understood that the voices will say it cannot be done. Voices will say that the bumblebee is just not going to happen. You can flap your wings all you want. You're never going to get off the ground. The bumblebee just kind of ignores those voices, doesn't even really understand those voices, and begins to do the impossible. But in reality, it's not impossible for a bumblebee to fly because God gave it the ability, despite the appearance otherwise, to fly. And that is much like the life of a Christian. We should not be able to live for God under some of the circumstances that we live for God. I've preached to you many times about how Jesus said, "My peace I give you, but not the world as the world gives you, give I your peace." The Lord gives us the ability in the midst of all kinds of craziness and in the midst of all kind of difficulty to walk and live for God with a smile on your face, while people are sitting there saying, "You're not going to make it. It's not going to happen." There are seven promises to the believers in the second and third chapters of the book of Revelations. And they are called overcomers, are they not? It tells us to him that overcometh, and I'm not going to go through all seven of those promises because there's more that I want to get into, but let me tell you what an overcomer is. An overcomer is one that gets the upper hand in a struggle or a conflict. It's one that conquers and one that defeats, and they overcome the enemy. And of course, Stephen was away this weekend down at Rutgers, I believe it was, University, and he's going to be a star football player down there. And if he wants to win the game, you know what he's got to do? He's got to be an overcomer. He's got to get the upper hand in a struggle. He's got to be able to defeat the other team. He's got to be able to overcome, as it were, the enemy. An overcomer will prevail over. He will prevail over opposition. He will prevail over temptation. He will surmount impossible odds. They overcome. An overcomer will overcome their own weaknesses. And no doubt that I've seen stories of football players where they're pushed to the limit to exercise and pushed to the limit to overcome their own weaknesses. And it's really not that different for the child of God. Sometimes the difference is we don't push hard enough. Amen. Number three, the overcomer gains victory to win. He gains victory to conquer and a plan to overcome and has a plan to overcome by any means possible. And often all that separates an overcomer from someone who is destined to fail is the decision, very simply, the decision that I am going to be an overcomer. You can be in the house of the Lord today and you could not have made that decision to be an overcomer for the Lord in your life. And today could be a pivotal moment in your walk with God that down the road someplace and down the road sometime, you might look back at today and say, I remember the day when I got tired of being browbeaten, where I got tired of being conquest or having the devil make a conquest of me, when I got tired of losing the conflicts, when I could not defeat or overcome the enemy. I remember that day when I made a decision that I was going to be an overcomer. It sounds simplistic, but every great victory starts with a decision, does it not? Oh, yes, it does. What do you think happened on that day on December 7th, 1941, when the Japanese came and bombed Pearl Harbor? There was a decision that was made in the Congress of the United States that said, we are going to war. But you can go ahead and make a decision, and it's easy, but if you... The decision is not the hard part. To follow up on the decision is the hard part. And sometimes that's what we lack, is we lack the ability or we lack the desire to follow through. It was not easy in World War II to make that decision that sent I don't know how many millions of Americans to their deaths fighting on foreign lands. But it's easy to sit back and be defeated, is it not? It's easy. They could have said back then, or they could have said on 9/11, we're just going to sit back and we'll let them do whatever they want to do because we can't stop it anyhow. And I don't know what our society would be like if we were allowed to be attacked with impunity. It doesn't take very much effort just to sit back and be defeated. It takes absolutely no effort to lose. You can only you can decide that I am not going to lose. I am not going to lose my faith. I am not going to lose my walk with God, but I am going to be an overcomer. You can overcome while others backslide. Why don't you put for me Psalms chapter 91 and verse 7 up? If you could believe this, I must have ran out of ink, and all my scriptures that normally print for me are blank, so you're going to have to put those up for me. You see, because while others are falling in the battle, you can live for God successfully. While others are sinking, you can soar to new heights with God. What does the scripture tell us in Psalms 91 and verse 7? And somebody say, praise the Lord. Psalms 91 and verse 7. 1,000 shall fall at your side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh to thee. And of course, the scripture here tells us the reason that happens is that you've made my God your refuge, that you've had a walk with the Lord, that you've had your time of prayer and fasting and spiritual warfare. It gives us some clear direction on how to do these things. It is possible in our society. We've got a society that's ungodly, and we've got a society that is very, very perverse right now. And I want you to know, I don't care if you're a young person or you're an old person or you're middle-aged, if you're a boy, if you're a girl, if you're handsome, if you're ugly, if you're pretty, or if you're pretty ugly, it doesn't matter, because you have the ability through the power of the Holy Ghost to maintain a walk with God in the midst of this ungodly and perverse generation. You need to stand up and take God at His promises. Life will continually bring circumstances that will try to tear us down. The lies of the enemy will come against our minds, trying to tell us that we can never be overcomers, that we can never be champions. But the Bible is the final court of appeal, is it not? The Bible has the answer to every lie and every accusation of the devil. Romans chapter 8 and verse 37 tells us something a little bit different. The Bible teaches that you have everything you need to rise above your circumstances. As a matter of fact, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 37, it tells us that we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. How can you be a conqueror if the Lord is not going to give you the victory? I'm telling you, child of God, if you will live for God and you will walk with Him, He can give you the spirit of a conqueror. He can give you the spirit of an overcomer. You don't have to bow before Babylon, but you can stand free in the power of God if you will take God and His promises today. Many people live day to day full of worry, do they not? How am I going to pay my bills? Fear and doubt. What's going to happen with my job? The economy is a mess. They've got mountains of problems overwhelming them. And they surrender to lies and obstacles and circumstances. Some people never rise above what they can do in this life because there's too many obstacles they cannot overcome. Well, friend, if you want to have some victory in your life, there's some devils you're going to have to fight. There's some obstacles that you're going to have to overcome. There's some battles that you're going to have to win, and you're not going to win them. You're not going to overcome the devil by sitting back and doing nothing. It takes no effort to be defeated. It takes effort to be an overcomer. And there's got to be a decision on your part that says, I am going to be an overcomer. They've given up on the idea that they can overcome the challenges that they face and be biblical overcomers. How problems can remind us. Let me tell you something. Problems are not so bad, because problems remind us that God, He's God. You know what the word of the Lord tells us? He said, I've owned the cattle on 1,000 hills. I'm sorry, but I got a couple of cattle, but I don't have the cattle on 1,000 hills. I can only go so far where my wealth and my ability, it's going to let me down. But I've got a God that will sometimes let problems come into your life because He wants you to understand something. You're not God. You've got to learn to trust in the Lord with all your heart and do as the scripture says, lean not unto your own understanding, and the Lord will direct your paths. Problems remind us of our weaknesses and our simple need for a total dependence on God. Problems give us an opportunity to be stretched beyond our normal capacity. Now, I don't know how many, is there anybody else besides me that was in the military? Anybody? Military's not bad. I mean, I don't like what they're doing. I won't get into all the semantics of that. But it will take a young man, and it will change that young man, because they put that young man under pressure and stress. He don't get to do what he wants to do. I still remember them guys coming in at 5 o'clock in the morning. Get up! What are you doing laying there? They'll put a lot of stress on you. You see, problems will give you an opportunity to be stretched. And that's what the military did for me, somewhat beyond our normal capacity. How about you? Do you face some problems today? The scriptures are filled with stories of men and women who had problems before them, but they came out as overcomers and they came out as conquerors. If you apply those same biblical principles that they used, I've got some good news for you. God is no respecter of persons. What he did for one, he will do for another. If they will use the same principles, if they will serve the same God, if they will do what they should do and not back down and not give up, but let the spirit of an overcomer get a hold of them. And instead of saying, I can't, they're going to say, through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can. They're well able to overcome any circumstance. See, to be an overcomer, though, you've got to change the way that you think. Romans chapter 12, the first two verses. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. If you think like you can't overcome, guess what happened? You're not going to overcome. I've seen people who say, well, I believe God, but you know, I don't. Well, what are you saying it for? Don't even say it. If you've got something inside of you that believes God, what you need to say, you know what? I believe God and I don't care what the devil says. I don't care what my circumstances say. I don't care what's happening in my life. Because I serve a God that can do some things that I can't do. I serve a God that has the ability to make the impossible come to pass. That's the kind of God that I serve. Don't sit there and say, well, I'm praying, but you know, I don't know if God is going to answer. It's time to use those weapons of your warfare. Use them against strongholds. And say, God, I've fasted. God, now I'm going to believe that your word is mighty. Your word is powerful. Your word says strongholds are going to come down. I beseech you, brethren and sisters, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. And let me tell you something. We ought not to just present our bodies a living sacrifice in church, which is just your reasonable sir. Well, you know, I go out there and they say, oh, aren't you most holy? Who cares? I don't care. They're going to burn in hell. They're going to roast like toast. They're going to bake in the lake. What do you care? I mean, you care about their soul. But all the devil's trying to do is discourage you and say, you can't do it. You know what? It's time to look at them and say, well, I'm really sorry you feel that way. But I love God. And I'm going to serve the Lord with everything that's within me. Go ahead and go to the second verse. And be not conformed to this world. But be what? Be what? Come on, shout it out. Be what? Be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. What he's talking about there, you see, it's not good enough just to talk in tongues one time. It's not good enough to get a blessing of the Lord just one time. You've got to go back to that well. Jesus said, I've got a well that you can drink from, and the waters are never going to run dry. Every time that we have an altar service, every time that we say it's time to come pray, you know what you ought to do? You ought to run up and say, I want to reach out. I want to drink from that well, because it's by the renewing of your mind that your mind can be changed. You will come into the house of the Lord and you will be discouraged and you will be down and you will be depressed. The worship goes forth. The preaching goes forth. The best part is there, which is the altar service. And God begins to renew your mind. And instead of sitting there saying, I can't do it, you sit there and say, where is that devil? I'm going to give him a kick right in the rear end. He's going to get out of my way. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. The great judge Oliver Wendell Holmes once said that a person's mind stretched by a new idea never goes back to its original dimensions. I think God wants to stretch your mind a little bit. He wants to give us new thoughts, not new doctrine. Amen. People get to thinking, well, I got new thoughts, and they leave the Word of God behind. Let me tell you something. This is the Word of God. We don't leave it behind. We don't have another Bible that we wrote that says, you know what, we've got a Bible that just supersedes the Word of God. We don't have a Book of Mormon. We don't have a Jehovah's Witness Bible. We don't have a Catholic Bible. No, you know this, the Catholics have their own Bible. We have the Word of the living God. I don't need to stretch myself out to take part of false doctrine. But the Lord can stretch my mind beyond where I can see that He's able to do it exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think. He wants to take you and He wants to give you some ability to grow your faith, the ability to be different, like the new wineskins that expand to hold the new wine in Luke chapter 5. Our full potential can be lying dormant like a seed waiting to sprout. And today I want you to know the Holy Ghost wants to water that seed. What do you think is happening right now? Some of you, you've been a little bit discouraged. You've been a little bit down. Yes, you've fasted. Yes, you've prayed. But maybe those prayers are saying, you know what, God, you know, I've got an alternate plan if you don't come through for me. Oh, no, 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 no. I believe God. If faith says I'm going to believe the Lord and the Lord's going to do what He said. If it's written in His book, there are no alternate plans. Come on, it's time for you to stand up on the Word of God and say, I believe the Word of God. I don't care what my circumstance says. I don't care the way things look. I'm just simply going to believe the Word of God. I've fasted. I've prayed. I'm going to believe. Come on, somebody say, praise the Lord. You see, overcomers open their minds to the renewing of the Holy Spirit. You know, if maybe I might be stepping on your toes a little bit. You say, well, just wholehearted believe God. Instead of doing that, why don't you just sit there and say, thank you, Lord, for confirming your message, God. Thank you, Lord, for touching me with faith today. Thank you, Lord, for the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Don't sit there in doubt. You can receive it. You can receive it, or you can doubt it, or you can do without it. Amen. God has some things that He wants to bring to pass in your life, and it's time for you to sit there and let the spirit of an overcomer just get all over you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you preoccupied with the past and with things that you cannot control? Have you ever done the shoulda, woulda, coulda? You know what? Shoulda, woulda, shoulda, woulda, coulda. Well, let me tell you something. If I could go back to the day I got the Holy Ghost, I would change some things. I would still marry my wife. You're okay. But I would probably do some things I did differently. But the reality of the situation is I can't change the past. Do you know that God could change the past if He wanted to? He sure can. He's the Almighty. Praise the Lord. There's only one thing. Ain't going to happen. God is never going to change your past. If you failed God, you're going to have to live with that failure. It's just the way it is. That failure can be put under the blood. Amen. But the thing the Lord will change, He will change your future. You do not have to be bound by the things that happened in the past. There are people that say, I cannot overcome because of what my grandfather did with me, or what this one did with me, or what this happened or that happened. No, 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 no. Your future is not through the power of God now. Your future is not bound by a direction that the past took you. You do not have to lose out. You may have done some things that are wrong. You may have been subject to some things that were wrong. You may have been abused. But I'm telling you something in the Holy Ghost, that God can deliver you from your past and He can change your future. Amen. Hey, that's the way it is. You look at the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The Bible says they were cast into the fire. They came out of the fire, and there were a couple of things that happened. Number one, they were not bound anymore. Number two, there was no smell of smoke on them. And number three, I believe, I don't know, maybe it's just the two there. But here's the thing. You can go into a trial bound. You may say, well, the fire is hot in this trial. You can become free in the middle of a trial. Not only that, when you go through a trial, when you go through a furnace, you can come out the other side and nobody can smell the smoke. You know what that means? That means nobody going to believe what you've been through. Amen. I've been through some things you wouldn't believe that I've been through. Why? How come? Because there's no smell of smoke. There's no mental problems that are left. There's no stuff that's, I have no baggage because of those things. Because God delivers and He sets you on a course. He sets you for the future where you can have a good life with Him. Amen. That's what God does. Praise the Lord. Can somebody say, I believe the preaching today? King David was a great biblical example of an overcomer. I know David sinned, but he also overcame. How do you think David felt when he sinned and he had to live with the result of his sin, knowing that he got found out and so on and so forth? But let's talk about a different circumstances. There are three important attitudes of an overcomer. Number one, the overcomer will respond to the challenge, not the problem. They don't look at a problem saying, oh my God, look what's standing in my way. They may say, okay, well, I got a rock to climb, but how do I climb that rock? I've got a place I want to get to, but I got this thing between me and where I want to get to. How do I take the challenge and overcome that problem and come into a better place that the Lord wants me to be into? You know, the devil will attack. It'll attack your livelihood. He'll attack your faithfulness. He'll try to tell you that if you pay your tithes, you're not going to have enough for yourself. Let me tell you something. Paying your tithes is a blessing, is a road to blessing. Come on, amen. If you will do what the Lord has told you to do, He will bless you. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 23 through 27, we find some things that were written. We read how David faced Goliath. Why don't you turn there with me very quickly, Brother Tayo. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 23 through 37. Talking about, and as he walked up with them, and behold, there came up a champion, Philistines of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spoke according to the same words, and David heard them. You notice what he's saying here. He spoke and David heard. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. They didn't believe the promises of God. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that comes up? Surely to defy Israel as he come up. And it shall be that that the man who kills him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. Go ahead. And David spake to the men that stood by him and said, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Go on. And the people answered and saying this manner, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. There's some other scriptures towards the beginning of that. So if you'll go around to the 8th verse, we'll get there sooner or later. We read about how David faced Goliath, the 10-foot giant who had been trained in war since his youth. Goliath had a breastplate that weighed 200 pounds and a spear that was 8 feet long. The head of the spear alone, they said, was 25 pounds of iron. And this fearsome warrior had been challenging the armies of God for 40 days and 40 nights. Nevertheless, David did not see Goliath as a problem. He saw Goliath as a challenge. He saw Goliath as a man who is challenging God's faithfulness to his people, a man who is trusting in false gods and defying the one true and living God. Because David had an overcomer's perspective, he was able to rise up against his problem and slay his problem with the help of God. How many of you got problems in your life today and you've got difficulties and you've got things that you don't know how it's going to work out? But I'm telling you, by the power of God, God can give you the ability to slay some giants in your own life. Number two, the overcomer doesn't allow themselves to be shaped by circumstance. They don't allow themselves to be shaped by criticism. They don't let themselves be shaped by the opinions of others. Like I said, if they don't like it, I don't care. That's one of the great things growing up in the Bronx when I was a kid. That was an attitude I got there. It's called the Bronx cheer. If you don't like it, that's just tough luck. It's great when you're living for God, because when you got people that come up to you, I don't like you because you're a Christian, you're like, so? God likes me. God's the one that matters. Amen. It doesn't matter what the devil thinks or people that impersonate the devil. Praise the Lord. Bible talks about Job had three friends. Bildad, I forget their names now. But anyway, with friends like them, who needs a devil? Right? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You've gone in a situation, you've had people tell you, you just might as well curse God and die. You're just not going to work out. Look at you, you were so righteous and now you're a mess. No, no, no. That's not the voice of God. That's not the voice of God. In 1 Samuel, in the 28th verse, actually go to the 28th verse, I'm sorry, the next verse. I like this. 1 Samuel 17, 28 through the 33rd verse. Hallelujah. Wakey, wakey. Ah, there we go. 1 Samuel 17, verses 28 through 33. Hallelujah. Mm-mm. And Eliab, here we go. Eliab, we're going to say Eliab, friends with brothers like Eliab, who needs the devil? Think about it. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when David spoke to the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. He says, what did you come down here for? With whom has you left the few sheep that you have in the wilderness? You know, listen to the spirit of accusation. I know your pride. I know the naughtiness of your heart. For you're come down that you might see some battle. You're not wanting to do anything. You're just wanting to blow your own horn. And David said, what did I do now? Is there not a cause? Go to the next verse. And he turned from him towards another and spoke after the same manner, and said, people answered him and said again, after the former manner, go ahead. And when the words were heard which David spoke, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. Then he got Saul upset with him. That's great. And David said unto Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him, and thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Of course, they're just laughing because he's a kid. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go. And don't you like the power of positive thinking here? Here we got Saul. He don't know it, but he's got one of the greatest Bible figures standing before him in the face of a little boy saying, I'm ready to kick the devil in the rear end. He's saying, well, who do you think you are? You can't do that. You can't go fight this Philistine. You're just a kid. And he was a man of war from your youth. Man, isn't the way the devil talks to us? You've had so many problems. God can't use you. You're too young. You can't do anything for God. You're too old. You've been around too long. Man, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. You can't do anything for God. You hearing what I'm saying today? The devil will not speak faith to you. What I'm speaking are words of faith today where you can be uplifted by. That's God. But when you hear these voices coming to you telling you you're no good, you might as well give up. It ain't going to happen. God's never going to answer that prayer. He's limited by the things that he can do. Hey, he still said he can take down strongholds. Amen. He can take them down. Amen. So the voice of accusation is not the voice of the Lord. Eliab, David's older brother, tried to deflate David's champion attitude into a defeatist attitude. You ever have anybody try to do that to you? You can't do that. My family used to be like that. And I remember one time my mom was at the table, and this is probably about 1972, 73. We were at the dining room table. She says, what do you want to do? What do you want to know how to do? I said, I want to know how to do everything. She said, you can't do that. Ask my wife. I can do almost anything. As a matter of fact, if I set my head to it, I can do anything. God gave me that ability. How do you think I could put this air conditioning, do the electrical wires, work on the building stuff, figure out? They've been trying to figure out where the water's coming from in this building for 30 years. Nobody's figured it out, except I figured it out. Why? Because if you'll use your abilities for God, He'll give you ability. It's not because I'm so great, because I'm so smart. It's because I've used my talents for the kingdom of God. God will bless that. Amen. Eliab questioned David's integrity and his motives. And like Eliab, I'm telling you, the devil's always going to come to tear you down. And the Saul says, you're not able. You're too young. You're not going to be. Voices of doubt, voices of despair. You see, too many people are overly influenced by what other people think of them, by what other people say to them. All you have to have with some people is a word of discouragement. You've got to be careful, especially when you're talking to church people. Always speak positive. Amen. Don't ever tell them ain't going to happen. You're just being used by the wrong spirit. Amen. Parents, friends, teachers, even complete strangers can sow seeds of doubt and despair. You ever have that happen? You're going through something, even a stranger will talk to you and tell you you can't do it. Amen. Ain't going to happen. You know that's the voice of the devil. Amen. People will question your motives based on their own wrong motives. People will judge your ambitions by their own securities. They will judge you after the flesh and the human mind, the human reason, the eye of human reason, and deliver the verdict that says that you cannot do this. But God judges after the Spirit. God judges after His eternal mind. It says in His Word that you can do what He has called you to do. I'm so glad that the Lord says some things. Amen. What does the Bible say? It says, when I'm weak, then I am strong. It tells us a whole bunch of things like that. You see, people that are overcomers live by what God's Word says. Well, I want to give you some lies that the devil will commonly use against you. You're going to have to put these up for me pretty quickly because, like I said, my scriptures did not print, and I'm looking at a lot of blank spaces. Hallelujah. Number one, Psalms 145 and verse 16. Psalms 145 and verse 16. You will never, he'll tell you this. There's a whole bunch of my gut, but I'm just going to do four. You will never be satisfied with life. You'll always be discontented. Discontentment will always be with you. I got a word for you. Stand on the word of God. You know what the word of the Lord says? It says, thou openest thy hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. When the devil comes to you and tells you, you'll never have a life that's satisfied. God's just not going to bless you that way. Just not going to happen to you. You need to point him to the Word of God and tell him what the Word says. And they say, you shall live by every word that comes out of the Word of God. Get thee behind me, Satan. Come on, amen. Let's go to the next one. Psalms 103. The first five verses, Psalms 103, the first five verses. And Sister Honey, you can go ahead and start making your way up here. Number two, he'll tell you something else. You're not worthy to receive anything from God. You're not worthy. You've sinned too much. You've made too many mistakes. You've walked out of the will of God. You're just not worthy. Just not going to happen. Let's read these five verses. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Like I preached a few weeks ago. I quit General Electric now 5 years ago. I was loaded up with benefits, man. If I had $2 million of health insurance, I would never go broke. I was going to have a pension, and I got away from that. And the devil came to me and said, you know what? You ain't got benefits. And you know what I told him? I said, the word of the Lord tells me that God loads me up daily with benefits. Amen. Hallelujah. What does He do? He forgives some of thine iniquities. You mean that everything, you know, all my shortcomings, all my failures, all my sins? You mean God will forgive them? Well, if the scripture says God will forgive them and the devil tells you, and something comes to you, and may even come to you as a spirit of light, because the Bible says the devil will come to you as a spirit of light, tell you you'll never be forgiven. It's a lie from the pits of hell. Amen. Go to the fourth verse. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Oh man, I've made such a problem of my life. I've got difficulties. Nothing's ever going to be that. According to the word of God, He will redeem your life. What does redeem mean? It means He's going to buy it back. He's going to buy it back. That's what redemption is. That's what the story of redemption is. He bought our salvation on that cross with His blood. He buys our redemption. He buys it from destruction. He can bring your life. You can have a life you could have messed up with God. But if you will turn your life over to the things of God, God can redeem your soul from destruction. Go to the next verse. Who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. Let me go on to the next one, which is going to be Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. Here's a good one. You're not totally forgiven. Well, God might have forgave you a little bit, but He just didn't forgive you all the way. You see, you've done some things that will never be forgiven. You've done some things that can never be cleansed. You're a second-class citizen without any hope. Am I preaching to you today? What does the word say? Is Beel, come. Let us reason together. You got that up there, right? Yeah. Come. Let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. God doesn't forgive you a little bit. God doesn't forgive 95%, but hold back the little bit that the devil will tell you God will not forgive you. You can never have your slate clean. It is a lie from the pits of hell, because the scripture tells us, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. It's all made available by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. One more. Psalms 32 and verse 8. Here's a good one. You're never going to find the will of God. You're going to miss God's best. You'll never. You've already. It's just not going to happen. Because God don't care about you. What does the word say? I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go, and I will guide thee with mine eye. If you were on Facebook this week, I put a little thing up there on the church website. It says, where is God when I'm in trouble? Something to that effect. Then it says, don't worry, because the teacher is always quiet during the test. The teacher is always quiet during the test. How many of you have ever been in a test when you're in school and the teacher said, this is the answer? Part of your development in Christianity, part of your development into a strong child of God, is the ability to discern the will of God in the midst of difficult situations. When all hell is breaking loose, God can give you the ability to make the right decisions and to walk with Him. Let's all stand. We read that first scripture, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, talking to you about the faith, or the overcomer's faith, the faith of the overcomer. It's an old song that we sing. I don't know if my wife has it on her mind or not. But it just simply says, let me walk with you, Jesus. How many of you want to be an overcomer? Isn't that what it said? This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. The faith of the overcomer. Wonder if there's anybody today. I rang a bell. I know I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Real strong. You may not, but I do. I feel like I rang somebody's bell today. You've been talking to the Lord, and God has got an answer for you. And His answer is not to bring peace into your situation right now. But His answer is to pour out the spirit of an overcomer upon you. Oh, come on and sing that. Wonder. I talked about being the first one, getting out and let the Lord minister to you during the altar time. Brother Leo's got your blessing. Come on, there's still plenty of blessing to be had. Why don't you gather around? Said, be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Why don't you let some renewing of the mind go on right now? Why don't you let the Holy Ghost work upon you? We're going to sing and we're going to worship a little bit. Amen. And why don't you let the Spirit of God do what He does best? Amen. Faith in you, God.